Blog Talk Radio.
Some of the guests on this podcast will express their viewpoints based on their own research, and those views aren't necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Cursed Net, Breakthrough Radio, or its affiliates. This podcast will also be available on iTunes under the keyword Cursed Net.
Hello, my name is Byron LeBeau. Welcome to Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. Today is Monday. It's January 5th, and we're into a brand new year of 2009. Now, last week, we had the privilege to interview a woman by the name of Joyce Ahrens, and she had quite a story to tell about how she slowly found out about the sentient beings from elsewhere who were messing with her, at least back to the age of 7. Joyce was into the New Age, also transcendental meditation, and astral projection, before she started putting the pieces together and found out eventually who she was dealing with some comforting guidance from Joe Jordan as a Christian counselor and president of CE4, which, of course, as you know, is a research group. Now, toward the end of our interview, Joyce gave some riveting testimony about calling out loud for help from Jesus Christ, which actually stopped her former demon friend literally in its tracks, never to return again. You can listen or even re-listen to her story by downloading the December 29th program. Now tonight, Joe Jordan has brought another female guest and victim to what some call the alien abduction phenomenon so that she can bear witness to her experiences and how she also learned to cope with these same malevolent entities, so much as Joyce did. Joe, I want to welcome you back to the program, and perhaps before we bring Kathy on, you can tell us a little about her, and maybe give us your reaction to what Joyce bore witness to last week. Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah, I hear you, and thank you for having me on again, Byron. And,
great.
This is going to be a very special show this evening. Kathy Land is an abduction experiencer who I met, I think, about 2000, 2001. And she was one of my first experiencers that I actually worked with one-on-one. And she came through me through the website, and she saw that what we were doing, and we had a couple testimonies posted at the time. And she had to share with what she had experienced and wanted to share her testimony, too. I also had a chance to actually work with Kathy. I go to conferences. I set up tables in the vendor areas. And now I do speaking engagements also. But in the beginning, it was just starting out in the vendor areas and setting up our information and talking to the people that mingle one-on-one. And I actually had the opportunity to have Kathy at my table. And I tell you, what an experience that was. The one thing about Kathy is she is very powerful. And you give her 2 seconds to be able to talk to her, and she's got you hooked. And I tell you, you'll hear an absolute powerful testimony out of her. And that's what you'll be hearing tonight.
Great. Well, I'm really looking forward to it. And first of all, let's turn to Kathy. Kathy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Last week, we were having all sorts of technical difficulties. It took us a half hour to get on the program. But because of our the expert technical prowess of one Greg Messina, we were able to get the program on, even though it took another half hour. But so I am so happy that everything went off very well this first 5 minutes, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. I read your brief bio on Joe's website, and also I also read the longer statement that you had sent me. And I'd like to start, Kathy, our interview with the jarring experience You know, like the time you were unceremoniously dumped into your bed from above?
Yes.
By the abductors in the night. We won't mention who they are right now. Could you sort of fill in the details of, first of all, what year that happened in?
I suppose it was around 2000 and 2001. And I also would like to say Joe makes me sound like Superwoman, but I'm not. I'm just average woman who happens to have had an extraordinary experience.
Yes.
The night you're talking about, I was awakened because my head and shoulder hit the bed very hard, like I'd been dropped from about 2 feet up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened my eyes, and there was a gray in my face, just inches away. I actually felt his breath on my skin, and I was terrified. This is very hard to talk about sometimes because, let's face it, we're talking about alien abduction.
Yes.
My first reaction was to turn over and get away from this thing in my face. But when I tried to do that, I realized the rest of me was still suspended in the air being held by at least two other ones. And I jerked my legs away from them and rolled over and went back to sleep. Which you think, you know, okay, so you just had this horrible experience. Why did you go back to sleep? But I found out later that's kind of typical. You just go back to sleep, and they hope you don't remember what happened in the morning. However, I did. When I woke up, I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
I made a cup of coffee. My adult son was here. I told him what happened. I think I said I had the weirdest dream last night. And I told him all that I'd seen. And he said, Mom, those weren't aliens. Those were demons. And a light bulb went off in my head.
Right. How old was your son when he was observing this?
Oh, he's an adult. He's grown, married, long since moved out. I mean, he wasn't a little boy.
Okay. Right. Okay, so it's not just a little boy observing something and making a statement. He obviously must have had a reason for saying what he did.
Well, we have a good relationship, and I think he knew that I was sorely affected by what had happened. And we are very frank with each other, so I think he just, it occurred to him, you know, the truth of the matter occurred to him, and he told me, and it was just, it was like I so totally understood it, all of it at that point. It was terrifying. I knew enough about alien abduction to know that they were doing horrible things to me if they were taking me in my sleep at night.
Right. Okay, well, that brings you to the next a logical question, I guess, Kathy. How did you go about exploring for the truth of what happened to you when you got the sense that these entities were up to no good, i.e. potentially demons? You couldn't prove it at the point, but what did you do? How did you go about trying to focus on that aspect of it at that point after the dumping incident?
I went to the library first. I literally sat in the aisle and pulled every book off the shelf that I could find anything to do with alien abduction. I couldn't find anything on how to make it stop. I mean, there was a couple of people that said, you know, it had stopped when they resisted or they had gotten away, but nothing that really seemed like an answer to me, nothing I could put my hands on and make work for me. So I came home, got on the internet, looked some more, and I came across Joe Jordan's website. And I think I called him on the phone because it was like, the heck with email. I want to talk to this guy now. And
well, you lived in the same general area, I guess, huh?
Yes, we were within a couple of hours of each other, so.
Right, okay.
I got really determined to make it stop, make it go away. A lot of things started going through my mind. I remembered my boy told me when he was little he'd had this dream about a really tall, skinny man who'd taken him for a walk down the street. And he had described him in pretty good detail for, you know, a little guy. Well, here it is, years and years later, and I've had this experience. And now I've read enough to know that it'd probably been happening to him, too. And that made me extremely angry, livid anger. How
angry
dare they touch
mother.
My children?
Right, exactly. I understand. By the way, do you think there was any reason that you may have been, and I'll use the word selectively, but since you've been, besides a manager in a medical supply company, and I read you were also a singer and a musician, and you even were involved with stock car racing for a little bit, so you had a little bit of a varied experience, and I'm wondering, to myself, when I'm reading this, I said, is there anything about Kathy that would fit the profile of the type of person that they would kind of go after for a particular reason to fit their agenda? Do you have any thoughts about that at all?
Well, there's a lot of theory about them picking people because their generational doors having been opened to the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents, your grandparents, whatever, have been in secret societies or dabbled in the occult, and they opened the door for this to happen to you. I can't prove that, but it was the case in my case, and pretty much everybody I've talked to had something they were dabbling in the occult themselves, or their parents, you know, had opened doors unaware. So quite possibly it's a generational thing.
Yes. Okay. Well, the reason I asked that question is because we once had a person of our knowing, Maria Cuccia, who had given testimony about what happened to her. And she had one of these situations where she had a miscarriage within the first 3 months back in 1984. But she had documentation that the doctors couldn't find out anything that would have indicated she was even pregnant, much less a miscarriage. So she was very puzzled about that. And then 8 years later, she was shown a boy who they said, he was probably the same type of alien beings that you had encountered, that this was your son, Elijah. And it would have been about 8 years later from the time she had the miscarriage. So she put two and two together, and I bring that up only because she was a musician, meaning that she was a piano teacher, and subsequently, as far as Maria's testimony went, they had tried to tap in to get her to change from being a piano player to start a full production company that was revolved around transcendental meditation music, which she went along with for a while. And because I had known her, and I actually saw the tapes that she was putting out, and she was meeting these people, it seemed coincidentally, that just happened to be the kind of people she would need to start a production company, because she didn't know about that type of stuff. So when I say targeted, I wonder sometimes that the talents that you may have had or still have can be used unbeknownst to you by these dark forces that might have an agenda, and you really don't know what the half of it is. Now,
I never dismiss their devious, ingenious tactics. And, you know, as far as the women, common experience is that they're raped by aliens or impregnated by aliens, and then they take their babies away from them later and show them to them, you know, years down the road. It's all a trick. I mean, how do you get to a woman? You appeal to her motherly instincts because they're the strongest instincts she has.
Right.
So, you know, she's bound by those instincts. She can't even resist those instincts. So that's what they target.
Right. Well, speaking of targeting, you know, we found in our own research that attraction seems to be one of the ways that they get you interested in the subject. And that brings me to the question of when did you first see a UFO and how did it affect you?
The first UFO I saw, I was probably in my very early 20s. And There were three other people with me. We all saw it. Only one of them remembers seeing it, and none of us remembered what we did the rest of the day. But it's one of those things that you just kind of chalk it up to one of those summer memories. Mm-hmm. And after years and years, you're not even sure, yeah, I guess we did see that. I sort of remember that. It kind of gets fuzzy over the years. And I also think that's all part of the trick that they're playing. Because, you know, when they take you out of your bed and bring you back in the middle of the night, they don't want you to remember what happened to you.
True, true. But there's two things that puzzle me. I once saw a UFO. I will never forget it. I had witnesses. They will never forget it. Except for the witness who I was unbelievably interviewing at the time, who showed to me that she was absolutely an abductee, saw the same craft my father saw in 1925 to the T. But when we had the UFO experience, this was the woman that would not look up. She was looking down, almost like she was afraid to look up. But I did have two other witnesses that did look up, and they remember that to this day. So that's a little bit, puzzling to me how somebody could forget such a strange incident. The other thing that's puzzling to me is, if you didn't remember what you did for the rest of the day, such an event like that, could that indicate that this expression called missing time may have taken place right at that time in the early 20s?
That's what I'm taking for granted now. I mean, we had a long drive home, a couple of hours drive home from where we were at the time. And
right. None
of us remember, we don't even remember, like, that weekend. I mean, the next few days we all went, what did we do Saturday?
Yeah.
We'd be like, I don't remember. So, you know, but it gets fuzzier and fuzzier as the years go on. I mean, I remember seeing it now, of course, because I'm making myself remember things, but...
Well, what did it look like?
It was huge. We were on a street with houses on both sides that backed up to a beach. And we were walking to our vehicles, and it came over us. And the reason I think we looked up is because it got dark. It was like the sun went away. And you could see the bottom of the Starship Enterprise. I mean, it was like, you know, mechanical-looking stuff on the bottom, but you couldn't see the beginning or the end of it. It went past the houses on that side of the street, past the houses on that side of the street, as far as you could see in both directions up and down. It was like we were seeing just a little teeny piece of the bottom of a huge spaceship.
Well, that sounds like, you know, one of those and rarely reported 3-football-sized fields, UFOs. You know, that would be like close to 1,000 feet.
And there was virtually no sound either. That's something that one of the other people that was with me said about it. Because I remember us saying that it's not making any sound at all while we were looking up.
Well, you know, this is interesting right here, before I go any further, because one of the persons I interviewed recently was Lynn Marzulli. And Lynn Marzulli took the time to go out to Texas to interview Rich Sorrells. He was the person that had the daylight sighting of the UFO in the Stephenville, Texas case. And he was caught in a briar in the daylight. You know, he was a deer hunter. And while he was in the briar, this UFO, strangely sounding like your UFO, where he couldn't see either end of it. It was so large, and it was silent, and the only thing it had underneath it were, it was things coming out of it, but they were in the shape of cones, according to Lynn Marzulli's interview. And he did this interview in a book called Alien Conversations. It was a very interesting book. And and then this, whatever this was, shot off at a 45-degree angle instantly, even though it was so big, and it was gone in a blink of an eye. And he said to himself, that's nothing from this world. And I'm saying, well, you had the same or similar experience. Well, this had to be back in the 70s sometime.
Right.
When you saw
it. And, I really don't remember anything happening to me. I mean... all these years that have gone by, you know, I've raised kids and then to literally wake up because I was being dropped in the bed. You don't expect...
Well, other than,
I'm sorry?
This large UFO that you saw in the 70s, was there any other time you did see a UFO?
No.
We did see
a light go across the bridge one time, but, you know, it's one of those, did you see that? You just don't report it.
No,
I mean, it's not the kind of thing that you go to work and tell your boss you saw a UFO. Because he's going to give you the job you don't like, so you'll quit and go away.
Well, I know I've talked to people who don't see UFOs technically, but they have a lot of UFO experiences in there, but they frame as dreams. You know, now, did you have any dreams that are related, not necessarily to UFOs, but perhaps to the whole phenomena of what you were dealing with before that?
I did have flying dreams my whole life, as long as I can remember.
Flying dreams?
Yeah, I can fly in my sleep. I mean, it's not like one of those on-command things, okay, tonight I'm going to dream about flying. It's just, since I was a little child, I would have regular dreams about flying.
Now wait a minute, Cappy. Are you suggesting that perhaps when you saw the movie Peter Pan, you were pretending that you were Wendy, that kind of flying?
Oh, and no, I would have been Tinkerbell. But, no, just, it was always like I was standing in my backyard and I didn't want to play with the neighbor kids anymore. And I just thought about going up and I was up. I've actually been up in the air so high that when I realized how high up I was, I got scared.
So what did you do?
I told myself I'd better get down a little further, and I did. Just kind of one of those, you know, I was afraid, and then I was down at a regular flying level, whatever that is.
Well, were you in the New Age when you were doing all this, or
oh no, the flying dreams I've had since I was a little girl. I mean, my whole life, and they, you know, they wouldn't happen like all the time. Maybe I'd have one or two a year. Maybe, you know, I'd have three or four a year. Maybe I wouldn't have any for a year or two. But the flying dreams have been there always.
Well, as Joe well knows, last week we had Joyce Ahrens on, and she was trying to do astral projection in the worst way. So she and her husband went down in the basement and meditated in front of a pyramid. She is a self-admitted New Ager back in those days. And she said she was only successful once in astral projecting. But that one time was a real hummer because she was flying in and out of an irrigation system, kind of low, but she thought it was the coolest thing, you know. But all of a sudden, she heard her husband open the door where she was lying down. And instantly, she knew that this happened, but she was in the middle of this irrigation system. And then she was back in the body. But when she got up, she had this huge bump on her head. And she told us, she said, she makes the connection between what she was doing, astral projecting, and this bump on the physical level, almost as if what happened in the astral plane is being translated into a physical body. So, and this is the first time I ever heard about a situation like this, you know.
Yeah, see, I was not into, like, you know, meditating or anything like that. I was into working for a living and raising kids, you know. I just didn't have time, didn't feel a need to look for too much else. I was too busy to look for anything else.
Absolutely. I mean, they say a mother is a full-time job.
Oh, if we got paid for everything we do, y'all couldn't afford us.
That's true. And we won't get into that subject. That'll take all evening. But
all
anyway,
right.
Speaking of that, did you ever get the feeling that they were using you for any type of hybridization program?
Okay, up to the point that I had been dropped in the bed, I had no memory of any abduction experience or anything like that. Never in a million years would I have dreamed that I would be one of those weirdo people. So, no, up to that point, nothing at all. I have had a dream, in what I guess was a dream, in the last 7 years or so, that I actually did see a baby in a bottle. And now, I'm pretty sure that that was part of an abduction experience.
Right.
But I don't like, at this point, to think that they are still taking me in my sleep, and I'm not swinging with a baseball bat.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm angry. They're not allowed to do this to me. How dare they?
Right. Well, we're going to get into some of that in a few minutes, Kathy.
All right.
And I really do want to focus on that, because it's part of the positive things that one can do. It just don't have to just sit there and submit to all of this. And the ways that you can go about doing it that are going to have a positive effect. But before I do that, I just want to ask you an open-ended question. We'll get into the spiritual warfare aspects of your experience, but first, were there any other things that happened to you before you met Joe that you would like to share? For instance, I'll just give you one for instance because it's fresh in my mind. Do you remember anything like a screen memory? And I say that because last week, Joyce mentioned a coyote that gave her directions as to what to do, as if this was a normal thing. I didn't say anything at the time, but I'm bringing it up now because it does happen on occasion. And we all know that coyotes usually don't talk. So apparently whatever was directing Joyce was using a coyote as a type of facade, and she just accepted it. It was just amazing because she just went on about, remember that, Joe, Joyce was talking about the coyote?
Yes, I do. And a lot of times it's not just a coyote. It can also be a deer is also recognized. And a lot
exactly.
of the reason for that is because of the shape of the eyes. You know, if you actually look at a deer or an elk or an antelope, they have the almond-shaped eyes the same as these alien grays do.
Yes. I've seen a deer up close, and boy, do they have big eyes. And I had a friend of mine who is an alleged abductee, who is a hunter like Rich Sorrell's, and he saw the weirdest thing when he was in his cabin. He saw a wild boar come up to the window, and he started to have a conversation with the wild boar. And I asked him to reflect upon that, and he says, you know what? Wild boar are very shy and retiring animals. They don't want to be seen. And this is the strangest thing. So I said, well, think in terms it might be a screen memory. And you really got to try to fight your way through that. I know one woman that did. She was talking to a dog through a window. And then under regressive hypnosis, she found out it really, when she had to concentrate on the dog, it turned out to be a gray. So there you go. But how about you, Kathy? Do you ever remember having anything that could...
No talking animals. No talking animals. I'm really happy I have had no talking animals. There would
Good.
Be no doubt in my mind what was going on if the raccoon in the backyard walked up and said, hey, you got a smoke? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. So the discernment level is very high at this level for you now, right?
Well, I mean... If the deer in the woods comes up to you and starts a conversation with you, then it's time to check into a hospital. I mean, this is, you know, if you don't get it, that this is not normal operating procedure for Bambi, then...
Right. Well, listen, the psychologists who are listening to this program will give you a check mark for that, that you have enough rationale to realize that, you know, animals don't normally talk, and if you find yourself talking to one, maybe you should check yourself in. So I'm sure any psychologist would applaud that last remark. But now I'm going to get to something a little bit more sensitive, all right?
Byron?
Yes, Joe.
Before you move on, I want to get another little background on Kathy before she gets into that part of it. You were starting to hint on it. Kathy... He was trying to get out of you like what your lifestyle was like before you came to the truth about what all this was. And I know from talking to you that you've actually been through a lot of different things through your life. You were a musician. You were in racing cars. You've been involved with motorcycles and things like that. And for most people that listen to things like that, and you can probably give a little more of things you were into, but those are not your normal Christian church-going type things that you would come across. And you might want to give a little background on some of the things that your lifestyle was like before all of this came about.
Well, you know, I don't want anyone, a lot of people have the wrong impression that Christians don't have fun, and I've actually accepted Christ in 1985, so, you know, and I raced cars after that, but I've done just about everything but jump out of an airplane, and I think one of our presidents did that when he was 80 years old, so it's not out of the question yet, but I've done a little bit of everything. I've been very privileged to be able to do that. I've had hard times. I've had good times. But this UFO thing, I honestly say, has been probably the hardest thing I've ever been through, because it is hard to accept that this kind of thing does happen. And it is even harder to accept that no one's going to believe you. They're all going to think you're out of your mind. It's so much easier for them to believe in some creature from a far, far galaxy than it is for them to believe in the truth, that these are not benevolent, kind creatures. And I don't understand why people are still so fascinated with them. If all the evidence shows that the people that are being abducted are being abused, mistreated, hurt, raped, then what's the fascination? We should be having a war on ET instead of a war on drugs.
Absolutely. And speaking of wars, Kathy, did you ever get to the point where you said to yourself, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
Oh, most definitely. Within the first 2 months after meeting Joe and talking with him, I really embraced the fact that I am born again and I have all the promises that are in the Bible. And I have the authority through the blood of Christ to make this go away. So about 2 months later, I woke up in the middle of the night. They were there again, and they were on their way to pick me up out of the bed. And I struggled as hard as I could, and I got the first no out of my mouth. And it was very hard to do because I was terrified. And they kind of slowed down, and I got another no out of my mouth. This time it was a little more intelligible. And they kind of stopped and looked at each other. By the time I got the third emphatic no out of my mouth, they disappeared into thin air. I had claimed the power of God to do it.
Well, right. And so that shows that they're not, per se, physical beings. ETs from a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, from all the stuff I've read, molecules can't last for hundreds of light years. You know, a carbon-based molecule that makes life. So I know they're not from far, far away. And for that matter, I also think, you know, that there might be life on other planets, but it ain't like us. And we're special.
Right. Well, there's something very odd about the way they manifest and go through walls. And there's all sorts of different things. As a matter of fact, it's almost like we're getting a multitude of facades thrown at us. Almost simultaneously, and the human secularist will take the least common denominator to show anything other than the fact that it's a spiritual warfare we're involved with.
How are they going to explain we're spiritual warfare? How could they possibly explain that to the general public? They're not going to buy it. They want ET from outer space. They don't want to.
And
they don't want to think that this could possibly be demonic because they don't have any defenses. They can't do anything about that. If it's from another planet, they can blow it up with an A-bomb. You can't blow up a spirit.
That's true. And, you know, Joyce mentioned last week something very interesting. And I'll just bounce it off you. I don't expect you to have had the same experience. But just so that you just listen to the question and see what, you know, how you want to react to it. She said last week, and Joe is my witness to this, that she felt that there was a warring going on for her soul in her head between not herself and her past experiences, like being a New Ager, but two other voices that she could not understand that were actually warring for her. And when I said to her, maybe it's a contest for your soul, Joyce, she accentuated the point that, yes, that's the exact feeling that I had gotten. Now, did you ever get a feeling like that in your head, that there is some kind of a contest going on for you?
Well, once I understood that this was literally fallen angels and not E.T. phone home, that it was without question. They're here to torment me, and their purpose is to do, they're jealous of me. God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
So their whole purpose here is to hurt, deceive, possess, and crush the human spirit as much as they possibly can.
Right. Yeah. Well, that does seem to be the case. Now, you have these debunkers, not that I pay attention to them, but they say things like, foolish things like, there's no such thing as a physical abduction. It's all in your head, or something to that effect. Now, it sounds to me like you are living proof that you had a physical abduction.
Well, I mean, I fell in the bed and my legs were still up in the air and two more of them's hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was a spiritual abduction, then I would have been comfortably laying in my bed. I also would have been totally unaware of what has happened to me. Because if they hadn't have dropped me, I wouldn't have woken up. And I wouldn't have been so keenly aware of what was in my room the night that I chased them out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that point, I was ready. And my, I became like a new mother sleeper where, you're not really asleep. Your ears are still open and you're ready for anything. Because at that point, I expected them back.
Exactly. Gotcha. It almost feels like, it seems like they made a mistake by dropping you in the bed the way they do and jolting you and actually waking you up into consciousness.
Yeah, and I got that sense of, when I got dropped, his face was so close to mine, I actually felt him go, as he dropped me. And I felt his breath, and then he had this kind of look on his face like, oh boy. Yeah, and also the night I ordered them out of my room, when they realized that I was resisting, they are all looking at each other like they're really confused. What do we do now? This wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's almost like you're following an agenda, and something slips up, like in the Truman Show. There was a little mistake, and Truman caught it, and then he realized the gig was up, and he was being set up for something, and then that was his first step for getting out. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Remember that famous line at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
And to me, not that this is a crude analogy for what goes on in the abduction phenomena, but they do make mistakes.
And I've heard of other mistakes that they've made, I mean, that have, revealed that they're not so bright after all.
Well, they put the clothes on people upside down and backwards.
Yeah, and inside out. I've heard of that as well.
Inside out. It happened to a friend of mine. This is something I know personally. But I just want the listening audience to know, I am going to post your full account tomorrow on my website, inspectorblebeau.tbwiki.com. It's going to be called How Dare They Do That to Me. And I'm going to read you two sentences from this what I feel is an extremely interesting account, Kathy. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever read as far as the abduction phenomenon is concerned. And I want you to comment on this. I think this is really, really good. It's on page 2 of your account. The thought came to me that Satan does not have to mess much with the people who aren't giving Christ any respect at all. Those people have enough problems on their own. However, he does want to victimize those who truly love the Lord, especially to realize that my child had most likely been abducted and victimized, as you mentioned before. I was livid, and I was literally ready to cut the ET's heads off. Finding out that I could fight and win by embracing Christ and what I already knew about the promises of the Holy Bible, I already have the power and authority to cast out demons with the faith of a mustard seed.
Well, that's just it, the faith of a mustard seed. I don't have to be strong. And if I was a non-believer, hearing all this, it'd be like, okay, that's real nice, but it's so true. I mean, I chased aliens out of my house. God, you either believe God is all-powerful or you don't. You can believe in him and not have him in your heart, which most people do. But once you finally get it, how much he loves you and what the promise of salvation gets you, then you have to embrace the rest of it. He gave us precious, precious gifts, joy, peace, discernment, and, when necessary, the ability to cast out demons. That's the moving of mountains that they're talking about, doing the things that seem so totally out of your control, but being able to do it through the power of Christ. I didn't do much of anything except let God be my power.
Now, they obviously had a problem with you. You seem to be a person who constantly will resist something if you don't think that you're being treated properly. You have an inner respect for yourself, self-dignity, and that's a very, very good thing. So I'm wondering now, the grays didn't seem to work, so the next thing you had mentioned was some kind of a troll-like being.
That was a couple of summers ago, and I had laid down to take a nap. It was still daylight, and I woke up because I felt a presence in the room, opened my eyes, and he was moving away from the end of the bed, and it was a short, grayish, greenish, kind of gunmetal gray, troll-looking thing.
Wow.
Without the bridge. And now I had read enough to know that this is another way that they show themselves. But it was Joe, actually, that told me that now that I understand what's going on, they don't have to use the disguise of a gray anymore.
Mm. Oh, so they bring in the heavy artillery and you're getting pounded? And
yeah.
You don't care that you realize you're getting pounded, right?
Well,
is that what the troll is all about?
Or maybe they understood that if I could have gotten my hands on one of the grays, that would have been the end of him. Maybe the trolls are stronger. I don't know, but they're not. The last time I saw something was not a gray anymore.
Right. Well, you're right about the... Yes, Joe.
What she's trying to show here is, and this is something that I see with a lot of the experiencers who have been able to overcome this, is... Once she has learned what the facade is, which is what this experience is, the gray itself, the alien gray, is just a facade that they come in, that they're using to entice these people and seduce these people with, because that's something that we would believe in, is something of high technology and in a race that's far beyond us. But once she has uncovered that facade like the other experiencers have, they no longer use that facade, and most of the time after that, they actually only come in their true form, and that's probably is one of the forms that she was seeing there.
Right. You know, that makes so much sense, because I remember reading an article by Ann Druffel back in 1993 from Fate Magazine, and I kept that and I'm glad I did, because I was referring back to it today, thinking of all the spiritual warfare. And she has this little story about a patsy. And Patsy was really fed up, kind of like what Kathy is with these beings, you know. And she was being, these three grays were coming in. So she jumped up and clutched the neck of the middle entity, and surprisingly, its neck snapped and its head fell on its back. Patsy felt sorry. Yeah, this is really true. Remember, Kathy, I was telling you I had this story? Well,
yeah.
I found it today. It was in Fate magazine. Patsy felt sorry she heard it, but she told the entities, "You're going to leave me alone." The other two dragged the body of their companion backward and vanished.
It's like a cartoon.
Maybe, right. Maybe they realized that, you know, you're another Patsy. Not a Patsy in the sense of being a Patsy, but a Patsy in the sense of this woman who, you know, if these greys come near me, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get your neck wrung off. And I think I heard you say that once or twice. So I'm laughing to myself, and I'm reading about this troll thing. I said, no, they're going to bring something a little bit more nasty next time, because we know we're dealing with a very difficult person.
Well, you know, one thing I would like to say is knowing the truth that in some ways does not make it any less terrifying. Let's face it, you're squaring up against fallen angels. But you have to. You cannot let them do these things to you. They're not being nice to people. And anybody who might be listening to the show, don't get fascinated with these things. They don't mean anything good to you. They're going to hurt you in ways you never imagined.
Right.
And stand up for yourself. Get angry.
Well, that brings me to the next point, Kathy. How come some people just don't get it? You know, they don't understand what you have come to, but you have come to realize. Are they searching for love in all the wrong places? How do you view all of these?
Oh, most definitely. I think the two things that drive a person besides hunger and thirst are the search for unconditional love, which you are only going to find in Jesus Christ, and for eternal life. And I guess they are hoping that E.T. from outer space is going to have some magic pill or inject them with something that's going to make them live forever.
Right.
Or they'll believe in anything. They're searching so hard for those two things, unconditional love and eternal life. Well, there's only one place you can get both of those at the same time, and that's in Jesus Christ.
Right. Now, you're awake. You're conscious of that. Now, when you go to sleep, do you do anything to protect yourself? Do you have any protocol that you use?
Well, I pray before I go to bed at night. I have since I was a little girl. And if I'm particularly tired, I will tell God, "I'm really tired tonight. You're going to have to do my fighting for me." And if I just happen to be in the mood, because let's face it, I'm human. Sometimes I'm strong, sometimes I'm not. Picture myself putting on armor. And I just basically prepare myself and pray to my Lord and let's roll.
Wow, it's almost like a tag team. "I'm too tired, Lord, protect me, watch my back," or "I'm going to sleep, but I'm putting on the armor. In case they come, I'll duke it out with them this time."
And some nights I'm so tired, I honestly will say, "God, you know, I'm just so tired, but I'm here for you no matter what you want from me." So I know this is my job. I mean, it's something that God has given me as a gift so that I can help other people.
That's really great. Speaking of that, helping other people, why do you personally go to church?
Because remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is one of the commandments. And
okay,
I want to show him that I love him and respect him.
Right.
And that's
so
why I go to church.
Out of fear. Right.
I'm sorry?
You don't do it out of fear. You're doing this out of love.
Oh, most definitely.
It's a request from the Lord to keep the Sabbath holy.
Yes. And
different people. Right. Okay.
We're not, you know, a lot of people search for churches that will serve them. Well, that's not the point of going to church. The point of going to church is to serve God, to worship him.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, I think we get too hung up with the kingdom of man, and people get turned off at that because, you know, they do. Sometimes, unfortunately, some people go to church and they see everything happens but what should happen.
Yeah, the church is full of hypocrites, and all they do is ask for money. But if you find a perfect church, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore.
Well,
there are people in them. You know, they're human beings, and they're all different. You find a good preacher, make yourself at home.
Right. Well, amen to that. And speaking, and then the other part of that, the other side of that coin is, why do you read the Bible?
If I was going to tell somebody else why they should read the Bible, I'd say because it's the only way to really get to know God, because he explains everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I read it to look for answers. I read it to look for comfort. I read it to remind myself of the joy of knowing the gift that I have received. It is God's word.
Right. And so it's food for the, it's literally food for the soul. If you don't feed your soul like you feed your body, you're going to get very weak.
Yes, there's a radio station up here that says reading God's word is just like your refrigerator. Because if you unplug the refrigerator, the food's going to spoil. If you unplug yourself from God's word, you drift away.
Yeah, well, that's really well put. You know, speaking of well put, you know, towards the end of this account that I'm going to post on you, it's like a manual for becoming a spiritual bulldog. I just couldn't believe this when I was reading this. This is what you say, okay? Now I am resigned to this task. I am in God's army. I am on the front line. I am on the battlefield. I am so grateful for what God has done for me. No matter what I have done or who I was, Jesus was brutalized and murdered for me, and I want to show him my gratitude. No matter what people say about me, people made fun of Jesus too. It is an honor to serve him no matter how hard this task may be. God proved his love for me. This is the least I can do for him.
Amen.
Have you ever thought of being a writer?
Yeah, when I grow up.
Yeah, when you grow up. Listen, when is this magical time going to come?
I don't know. Maybe when I retire to a condo or something, you know? I don't have to mow the lawn anymore.
All right. Well, listen, this has been really wonderful, Kathy. You're so powerful in presenting, you know, and I know it's hard to verbalize this stuff. I know Joyce had a little, you just want to keep these things to yourself, kind of, but once you get going, you know, you feel it's almost like an obligation.
It is an obligation, but
you know, this happened to me. It happened to my kids. I'm not gonna allow it if I can help it, and I'm gonna tell everybody about this, so that people know what's really going on, and we're not gonna put up with this nonsense anymore that's coming out of the television and these people who think they're ufologists with the right answers, and as you said before, they may be asking the right questions, but they're certainly not giving any real answers to this whole thing, you know. Anyway, listen, we're getting down to the last 5 minutes. Joe, why don't you take over from here and just give us some last thoughts about this and what you feel about all what's going on.
Okay. There's a couple things that I was listening to here and taking a couple notes on. Going back to the little issue you were talking about, it being a physical experience, and something that I would like to interject in here, a lot of people go back and forth of whether it's a totally physical experience or a totally spiritual experience. And actually, it can be either or both. And I think what you were seeing there was, in her story, was an example of it was both. What do these people get taken to a spaceship? I do not believe that. I don't believe that there are the physical laws that God has set in motion that can take us from a physical place to a place that is more or less a spiritual place, which is where they exist. They can manifest into the physical realm. That experience where they were holding her before they dropped her, everything they were doing that she would remember from an abduction experience was probably happening right there. They were there in the physical, but everything that she would be remembered would have happened right there in that room. That's to show you that they can come in the physical, but what she'll be remembering is a mixture of the physical and the experience itself that they can create, the illusion that goes with that, them being there in the physical to cause the abduction experience. And as you've listened, your listeners have listened to the different testimonies that we're bringing to your show, you'll see a little difference in any of them. And there was an experiencer that I'm recently working with that made a comment that was so powerful, and I'm not sure she's quite grasped what she actually said. I tried to share that and point that back out. But it was like one piece of absolute truth came out of her. And what she said was, they can make anything appear to be anything. And this is part of that facade. They can come in whatever guise they need to come in. They can create an experience, whatever it takes to capture you and condition you and brainwash you to be part of this experience, to be a victim of this experience. And it is an absolute brainwashing effect to where they try to get a control over you. And that we can get very deep into the effects that that causes, but that's part of, again, what she was talking about with the hybridization. Is the hybridization really happening? Well, it doesn't necessarily have to happen. Just giving the illusion of it happening is enough to keep a bond on that woman, because the maternal instinct is so strong in a woman. So it doesn't even really have to happen. All they have to do is give the illusion. And that's something that I want people to consider as they look at this. Two other things that came out in Kathy that, you know, I see in her every time I talk with her is persistence. You know, this is so very important. This is not a magic word. Jesus Christ is not used as a magic word. I keep hearing researchers say, well, I've come across people that have used this, but it didn't work for them. There's much more involved. There's about relationship, building a relationship with Jesus Christ, and full belief. And then another one that came out of her is righteous anger. You have to absolutely, this is what you want to do, is stop this. And you have to be that powerful into this and no more want to be a victim. And you'll see that right there in Kathy and her story.
Yes, righteous anger is important, because even David Jacobs, who I don't think he has exactly the full picture here, is right in one sense when he said, and I'm quoting from his book, Secret Life, that the anger and rage do not work against abducting entities, according to the cases cited. It's just not the right answer. And it's true. When you get very angry and enraged, it's almost like you're going insane. But that's uncontrolled anger. There is such a thing as controlled anger, where your righteous anger is in a sense working for you, because you know that you're coming from a positive point of view and you have every right to be angry and you have your wits about you. So there is a difference between the two things.
And it's like the fight or flight experience that most humans come across in a situation that scares them. They're going to either react in fight or flight. And most people react in flight, you know, in fear. They want to leave the situation and run from the situation and cower in a corner. Well, Kathy's a prime example where she doesn't work that way. She works in fight. You know, she's ready to take these entities on and put them in their place.
Right. Well, yeah, I hear you, and it's very cogent remarks that you made, Joe, because people don't, we wrote a whole book, The Cursed Net, about the traps and the beguilements and the seductions of Satan, how he uses the UFO phenomena. Although it's a real phenomena, it's really acting as a facade so that people get to see something that's an illusion, as Kathy was alluding to before, you know, with the ETs from far, far away. They would love you to believe that, because if you believe that, you will let your guard down and you won't understand the real seriousness of what the dark side is doing to capture your soul. And if we could just get that across to people, then these other facades will melt away, because you'll start becoming a certain person. Listen, I guess you can hear the music, Joe and Kathy.
Yes.
We're going to be turned into pumpkins very shortly. I hear the music. So anyway, I want to thank you both for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And just remember the comforting words of St. Paul, and I'll leave you with it. God will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way for escape that you might be able to endure it. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is Byron LeBeau. Have a peaceful night and a fruitful tomorrow. Good night, Joe. Good night, Kathy.
Good night.
Good night, Byron.
I know.